Hello, I'm Mahendra Gupte. You're looking at Chapter 7, International Commercial Documents. If you recall the chapters earlier, the last chapter was where we were looking at deciding or selecting the best mode of transport for our goods to be exported or imported. Now let's look at, irrespective of whether you're importing or exporting, the international commercial documents that are required for the import-export trade. Need of documents, backbone of international trade, proof of ownership and transaction, regulatory and customs compliance, payment and banking support, risk and insurance management. So this is, very simply put, what is the purpose of actually having these commercial, international commercial documents in place so that your business goes on, or rather goes on smoothly. As they said, it happens to be the backbone of international trade. Proof of ownership and transaction. Each of these documents will have two things common on all of them. One, who is the shipper? That means who is the seller and who is the buyer? That is, who is the receiver? In commercial terms, in international commercial terms, who is the consigner? That means the seller. And who is the consignee? That is the receiver. Regulatory and customs compliance. Different documents are required for different purposes. One is the regulatory, that means what are the requirements of regular trade, as well as customs compliance, where customs would ask for specific codes or specific numbers, specific information to be indicated on certain documents which form part of the international trade documents. Payment and banking support. You would not get payment unless the same documents are made available to the bank, whether it's a letter of credit or whether it is documentary collection. Except where you are getting a bank draft, then you need not have these documents being given to the bank. Risk and insurance management. The insurance company would need details of what is the kind of cargo you are supplying, what is the kind of mode of transport that is being used, which is the shipping line being used. So again, a copy of your commercial invoice, of your bill of lading, all these will become part of applying for insurance. Purpose of documents. For the exporter, it is accounting and export clearance. For the importer, it is customs clearance and ownership at the time that it is at his destination port. Carrier, for shipping instructions. Banks, for payment processing, for government, statistics and duties. Categories: trade documents, transaction documents, export documents, transport documents, import documents, banking documents and specialized documents. Here what we are trying to understand is, transaction documents means what? Means the commercial invoice, the pro forma invoice, the commercial invoice and the packing list, which all form the part of the transaction documents. The export documents, again, one of the copies of the commercial document, the packing list, the certificate of origin and other documents will form part of the export documents. Transport documents would be the bill of lading, or the truck receipt or the rail receipt, whichever is received from that mode of transport. The import documents, all these documents which were used for the export, as well as the import license, the importing permission, whatever other documents that are required to confirm that yes, this is a legal transaction of importing materials into the country. Banking documents, as I said earlier, you would require the commercial invoice, and this complete original set of documents will come through the bank if it's a letter of credit, will come through the bank if it is a collection of documentary collection through the bank, or the bank needs the invoice copy to ensure that they are paying for the right materials, so that they, if questions are audited at a later point of time, they understand what was the consignment for which payment went through them. Specialized documents. These are documents which are required by different countries for by different agencies in the importing countries to track shipments or track imports into the countries, especially if they are sensitive in nature. What are transaction documents? Again, quotation or the pro forma invoice, the sales offer, that is what it would mean. The sales contract is where you actually sign the invoice, the pro forma invoice or the quotation or the sales offer that has come, and you are getting into a sales contract with the company. Now, there would be another sales agreement or an international contract which is separate, which would not include the day-to-day transactions. But this here, the sales contract would be the day-to-day transaction, that means the invoice duly confirmed. The pro forma invoice and the commercial invoice are, again, a pro forma invoice is part of the sales offer getting converted to an invoice with actual details of costs, quantities, descriptions, everything else. At the same time, a commercial invoice, while the pro forma invoice is made at the time of confirmation of order, the commercial invoice is made at the time of actual movement of the cargo, that is the actual transaction taking place. Export and import documents, export-import licenses becomes the first part. So if you want to import something into India, you need to have an import-export code, IEC code, where you register the company on the government portal and you are allotted a number. Now this number becomes your reference point for all your duties, for all payment of duties, for all import licenses, for all export licenses, for all transactions for import and export. Commercial invoice, again, there would be a repeat of the same document being used for different purposes, and that is why we say that the full set of international trade documents will be used by different agencies at different points of time. But the certificate of origin is required at the time of import as well as the time of export. The export import declaration, many countries want the importer to declare to the government of that country what is it that he or she is trying to import into the country. Now, once those details are provided, they will check whether they are banned items, they are accepted items, they are protected items with respect to trade. So then permit you an import permit, which would be an import declaration and attestation onto it. Inspection certificate, you may want a quality certified. The quality certified by a third party in the country of origin, which you will pay for and get an inspection certificate from that third party who has completed the inspection. Government documents, the certificate of origin again is used here because this is how the customs duty is decided. Every country has got different trade agreements with different countries. As a result, the customs duties from each of these countries for imports from each of the countries differs. The import export license, which is a necessary requirement that you have registered and you are doing the process and the transaction legally. Customs invoice to ensure that you have paid the customs duty or exempted from the customs duty, but your transaction has been recorded by the customs and they are aware of that import. The customs invoice may also be generated at the time of export depending on the destination country and the requirement of that destination country. Import export declaration here would mean that once you have received the documents, you would have to submit a copy of the commercial invoice of the incoming consignment along with your import license or export license accordingly and ensure that the government keeps a track of the transaction. Transport documents, a shipping order where you are asking, you're placing an order with the shipping line to book space for you for the container or for space on the deck for the equipment that you want to ship out. Bill of lading is issued by the same shipping line after they have taken possession or custody of the material, equipments or the cargo in containers. Sea way bill is nothing else but the same as the bill of lading. Just another way of calling it, the bill of lading is negotiable, the seaway bill is not. The airway bill is again similar to the bill of lading but issued by the airline and it is non-negotiable. The house bill of lading and the house airway bill or documents similar to the bill of lading or the seaway bill or the airway bill issued by a multimodal transporter or a transporting agency who issues this document on behalf of all the modes of transport involved in the actual transport of the goods. Shipping guarantee is issued by a shipping line saying that they would guarantee delivery of a certain material, certain cargo, especially odd-shaped cargo or oversized diamond, over-dimensioned cargoes, ODC, to the destination. Financial documents, the letter of credit, the standby credit, bill of exchange for the draft, collection instruction, trust receipt, and promissory note. Letter of credit, as we understood in the earlier chapters, letter of credit is a bank guarantee to the seller that his payment is assured as long as he complies to the documentation requirement that has been specified in the letter of credit. The standby credit is actually a bank guarantee given by the bank where the seller can encash it only and only if he is not paid through the actual other route of payment that has been decided or agreed upon. Bill of exchange or a draft. A bill of exchange is nothing else but a official payment request that is put up by the seller to the bank for payment, which means in other words, it could be a draft received from the buyer to the seller that this is the bill of exchange that you go and put into the bank and you will get your payment made. Collection instructions are where the documents are not sent through the letter of credit, but the documents are couriered through the bank and the seller goes to the bank and takes over the documents. That is where he collects. There are instructions from the seller saying that once these documents are collected, they will be collected only against payment made on an immediate basis, which means that the seller would have to sign a draft or a check or a bank instruction to his bank in confirming to them that the payment can now be released to the seller. Trust receipt is similar, issued by the customer to the bank for ensuring that the payment is through. A promissory note is again a promise made by a seller to the bank or to the seller, made by the buyer to the seller, based that he promises to make the payment as soon as certain conditions have been met. What is the importance again of the documentation? General legal compliance, smooth customs clearance, risk mitigation, financial security, and record keeping and audits. Legal compliance is it's an official transaction between the two countries, between the two companies, and there is nothing illegal about it. Smooth customs clearance, with all documentation in place, customs clearance is much smoother and very quick. Risk mitigation, there cannot be a risk of material getting handed over to somebody else or to a third party or a fourth party unless they are able to produce the original documents for taking over custody or possession of the goods. Financial security, if the documents, as and when the documents are moved through the bank, there is financial security available to the seller that his payment will not be missed and it will definitely come to him. Record keeping and audits, everybody, the importer, the exporter, the customs, as well as the governments of the two countries will want to keep records of the transaction as to how much sales took place from the exporter, how much sales went out or what type of goods was sold in terms of value to a certain country. That is what the government would look at. The customs guys would want to look at how much of material was exported, what was the duty collected, which country it went to, where did it actually get sold, and things like that. Shipping documents, the import-export code, certificate code, the airway bill, the bill of lading, the commercial invoice, the packing list, the certificate of origin, and the insurance certificate. Now, insurance certificate is usually issued by the insurance company whenever the seller, that is, if it is on a CIF term or a CPIF term, when the seller is arranging for the insurance of the goods. So that is where the buyer would want a copy of the insurance confirming that the insurance was done for his consignment. Now the documents for the different transport modes: road transport, sea ocean transport, air transport, common documents remain the same. More specified additions are required. That means the road transport may require a road clearance or a road permit for excessively heavy cargo or odd oversized dimensional cargo, ODC, or whatever is the other mode of transport. Sea and ocean transport may require certain additional documents depending on the nature of the goods that are being transported. If it's hazardous cargo or if it is dangerous cargo, all those compliances and those additional requirements would have to be met. Air transport is extremely strict in terms of hazardous cargo. Only few very limited cargo is permitted under hazardous as a result, but there is a compliance that has to be done, documentation that has to be put in place before the cargo will be touched or accepted by the airlines. So there would be more specific additions that would be required. In a few years back, there was every ship that sailed required a shipping certificate. Shipping certificate in terms of the age of the ship. That means the ship was not more than 15 years old. As a result, that in it indirectly confirmed that the ship was good to carry the cargo from point A to point B. Road transport documents, vehicle registration and fitness, insurance certificate, national permit, invoice delivery challan, and e-way bill. Now, this is restricted or more in detail for a country like India, where road transport is extensively used, and as a result, every transporter that you hire would have to have these things in place. That is the vehicle registration and the fitness of the vehicle. That means the vehicle has been cleared for commercial use. The insurance certificate of the cargo as well as the vehicle. A national permit of the vehicle to move from across the states. The invoice and the delivery challan of the cargo that is to be moved. And the e-way bill. The e-way bill is an addition after the GST was enforced, where once the details are put onto the GST site of the sale that has taken place, an e-way bill is generated automatically, which permits or confirms that the GST has been paid in its required form, in the required percentages, and the transport is permitted. Sea transport documents, the bill of lading, the arrival notice, the vessel certificate, the phytosanitary cargo certificates. Bill of lading, as we understood, the ship issued by the shipping line for custody of product of the goods and then delivery of the goods to anybody who brings the original bill of lading duly signed and for taking possession of the goods. The arrival notice is an advance notice given by the shipping line saying that the ship is likely to be docking on so and so date at so and so time, and you can come and claim the goods at so and so time thereafter. Vessel certificate is what I just mentioned with respect to the age of the certificate, the fitness of the ship to carry the cargo, and phytosanitary and cargo certificates are restricted to the cargo packaging materials that are used or the other materials that are on the equipment that are used as packaging. So many a times if you have wood pallets or wooden pallets that are on which cargo is stacked, the wooden pallets need to be carrying phytosanitary or cargo certificates, which means that the wood is good enough, it has been treated accordingly, and it would not cause any harm or any environmental issues at the country of destination. Air transport documents, the airway bill, the destination control statement, the dangerous goods declaration, insurance and inspection certificates. So the airway bill is similar to the bill of lading. The destination control statement is where it is, which is issued by the destination airport for cargo to be retained for a maximum of so much time, else it would be moved to another warehouse where the entire process of customs clearance and things or and other duty payment can happen. Dangerous goods declaration, if the goods fall in the dangerous goods category, which is very, very small a category for a transport, but then it would have to have the goods declaration from the shipper side. After that, there has to be a lot of compliance documents that have to be filled to ensure that the dangerous goods are taken on board. Insurance and inspection certificates. Most of the cargo that goes through air transport is inspected and then insured. So the insurance company would also like to be sure that what they are insuring is worth insuring and it will be taken accepted by the airline. For example, if it's a dangerous good which is not acceptable at the time of inspection, the insurance company would deny insuring as well as the airline will not accept it. Packaging and labeling, protect goods during transit, ensure regulatory compliance, provide handling and product information, and improve customer trust and brand image. So these are the purpose of packaging and labeling. Protect goods during transit, of course, understood. Ensure regulatory compliance. Provide handling and product information. Ensure regulatory compliance is where, if you try and recall, whenever you are traveling international or you are traveling by air, you have a restriction on the baggage that you are supposed to carry. One is the 7 kg bag that you take into the cabin of the aircraft, that means the seating area, as well as the check-in baggage has a restriction of a maximum of 32 kg that the bag can weigh. Now, this is a regulatory requirement because it has been proved by ILO and other work-related organizations that anything above the weight of 32 kg is likely to harm bodily injury to the person handling that cargo. At the same time, all the conveyors of the airlines, of the airports, are also have certain capacities on the basis of which they are designed. Now, this design cannot be just 100 kg or 200 kg because then the costs would definitely go haywire. As a result, these are regulatory requirements which are put into place and everybody is required to comply. Provide handling and product information. Now, if your cargo box, let's say if a carton doesn't have the information of handling that cargo when it contains glassware or other goods which could break in transit, you are going to have trouble getting proper cargo or cargo in saleable condition at the destination. So provide handling and product information is very critical to be put on every carton, every master carton, and even on the container or the bill of lading or the packing list wherever it is possible. Improve customer trust and brand image. Cargo which is received intact by your customer adds to the customer satisfaction at his end. And definitely, if you go to a shop, you would not pick up a damaged item, right? Now, the reason that you would not accept a damaged item is the same as why should a consignment get damaged and be received by a customer in damaged condition. Types of packaging. There are three types of packaging universally: primary packaging, secondary packaging, and tertiary or transport packaging. Let's understand types of packaging a little more in detail. Primary packaging is that packaging which actually touches the material or the goods that you want to package. For example, if you look at a Kisan ketchup bottle, the bottle or the pouch is the primary packaging that is in touch with the product. The secondary packaging is that carton which contains six of those pouches or six of those bottles of tomato ketchup. That would be the secondary packaging. And what is the tertiary packaging or the transport packaging? Such 10 such cartons would then be packed into a bigger box or a bigger carton. That becomes the tertiary or the transport packaging. So this is just to clarify what is primary, secondary, and tertiary. Primary packaging touches the product. Secondary packaging consolidates the number of primary packagings, and the tertiary is actually used for transportation or storage. Hazardous goods need to comply to international regulations. The UN has classified 9 classes of hazardous goods, and if your goods are first classified as hazardous, they will have to fit into one of these 9 classes. If they do not, you will not be able to transport those goods by practically anybody, any mode of transport. So, in other words, all hazardous cargo is classified only in 9 classes. Proper packaging and labeling. Your packaging, labeling, and the classification of the class of hazardous cargo is extremely important, because each class has got a specific way and a specific process to be followed when handling it, or if a package containing certain hazardous cargo is mishandled, or if the package breaks or the container inside breaks, how should the people who are in the vicinity of that package, how should they be reacting, what all precautions they need to take, and what are the first aid that needs to be given to them. This also means there has to be accurate documentation with respect to the classification of the hazardous cargo, as well as there has to be proper ownership of the document that is made and whoever signs that document. Only trained personnel are used to handle hazardous cargo. Trained to handle hazardous cargo, and they know exactly of all the 9 classes how to handle, what are the precautions to be taken, what should be done in case if one of those containers gets into mishandling situations. Dangerous goods by air. IATA dangerous goods regulations, shippers declaration, UN approved packaging, and mandatory DG training. IATA dangerous goods regulations have to be complied with. The shipper has to give a declaration with respect to whatever is the cargo to be moved. The airline may ask for samples or for test results or for test reports. There is no end to what documentation may be required for moving dangerous cargo by air. The UN approved, after all this declaration is done, the cargo has to be packed in UN approved packaging material only. The reason for saying this is that UN approved packaging is classified on the basis of the classes of the dangerous cargo, and only certain classes of dangerous cargo can be packed in certain classes of packaging. Mandatory dangerous goods training. The people who are handling that cargo at the shipper's end, as well as the airlines at both the origin as well as destination, have to be trained in the dangerous goods handling processes, and that is the main reason that dangerous goods transported by air cost much more than they are by transporting by sea or any other route. Dangerous goods by sea. IMDG code or IMO code, International Marine Organization, which has decided the code similar to the IATA code, mandatory under SOLAS. Dangerous goods form segregation and emergency planning. So in terms of a ship, there is the cargo, such cargo is separately stored, is protected. There are many at times areas available in the ship where such dangerous cargoes can be contained, so that if there is some leakage or some other fumes or something like that, that can be curtailed and segregated. But for this, there has to be a dangerous goods form that is filled up. It has to be classified as per the UN classification, and all details have to be made available by the shipper. In summary, documentation is essential in trade. Multiple document categories exist. Packaging and labeling add safety and value. Dangerous goods require strict compliance. As we understood, documentation is absolutely essential in trade. Different agencies using the same set of documents for different purposes, looking for different information on each of those documents. Multiple document categories exist. We understood this. Every week, the categories were based on each agency. What are they looking for? What are the kind of documents that fall for them? Packaging and labeling add safety and value. The most important part here is that on packaging and labeling, there is a lot of use of symbols. The reason is that symbols are common and they transcend languages, which means that you need not write "handle with care" in English and then in French and then in Spanish and then in some other language. You only put a sign of "handle with care," which is that umbrella, which means, or the two hands with the cargo in between them, that means it says "handling with care." Hazardous goods require strict compliance. We all understood whichever mode of transport you are using, you have to comply to the hazardous goods requirements that are required for that mode of transport. Now let's look at a copy of each of the documents that we just were talking about, and how do they look, and what is the information that is available on each of them. The IEC code certificate is the import-export code certificate, which is issued by the government of India. This is our example. Importer or an exporter in the overseas country would have a similar code, maybe a different type of certificate. But this is the certificate that it looks like for the IEC code by the government of India. The airway bill, again, as I said right in the beginning, there are two informations, that is the consignor and the consignee, which have to appear on every bill of lading, airway bill, or whichever mode of transport you use. So that is what happens in the first two left side corner. The consignor comes first, the consignee comes second, and then you have in the chart, in the table below, you have the details of the cargo in terms of number of packages, weight, dimensions, etc. The bill of lading, again, similar to the airway bill, again, the left top corner is the consignor, the second column is the consignee, and the details are given below in the big table as to what are the number of packages, each set to contain how much, approximately so many number of packages or tons or where, however is the description required by the customer to be mentioned there. The commercial invoice, this is again from the seller, which appears first, may be printed on the seller's letterhead, also is possible, or for international purposes, companies would prefer to put their names and the company name as the shipper or the consignor, and the consignee is the buyer, with details in the blank space that is seen in between, with all part numbers, description, unit of measure, numbers, cost, unit cost, and the final totals. Customs declaration form. This is a form that is printed and filled by the shipper and submitted as the time of delivery of the goods to the customs for onward dispatch. That means this is at the country of origin. The packing list happens to be a document which goes with the commercial invoice, but there is an additional column here that it has the HS code and has also the details of which cargo or which component or which part or which product is in which carton and how is it numbered or how can it be identified. The reason for this is that the packing list is a primary document used by the customs when they want to do a sampling check and want to see what components are available in which carton. They may pick up from this list of cartons and packing whichever carton they want and ask for a part to be brought to them to see that it actually fits the description that is on the packing list and the commercial invoice. Certificate of origin. This is initiated by the manufacturer in his country of origin, but it is printed or generated by the Chamber of Commerce. Now, what happens here is you have a consignor and a consignee, and then in the blank column in between is where the Chamber of Commerce certifies that the goods mentioned on the commercial invoice are manufactured by the said company in a particular address of the plant or the factory or the manufacturer's details, in the country. So a certificate of origin is stamped by the local chamber of commerce or the provincial chamber of commerce, depending on the value of the goods or the whatever are the regulations of that country, and then given to the exporter or the seller to become part of the export customs, export trade documents. The import license or certificate is applied for by the buyer in his country of origin, wherever he wants to apply for an import license, if he is importing goods which are for the first time, or this is more or less required for every consignment that comes, whether it's a routine consignment or it is something special that he would like to import. Export license certification is when you are as an exporter from country of India trying to export material. This is where an export license certificate would be required, where you are trying to tell the government of India or the government of your country as to what is the material that I am trying to export, what value and how much quantity. Shipper's letter of instruction, SLI, is where you as a shipper or a consigner are communicating with the shipping line as to how your cargo should be handled, whom should it be handed over to, what kind of conditions or precautions to be taken when on board the shipping line, and how should it be handled when at the time of delivery. So these are specific formats and specific documents, instructions which you can give to a shipping line based on whatever you want them to do. Of course, restricted to the scope of the shipping line only. Certificate of insurance, as I said, is issued by the insurance company that has insured the cargo. This is most of the time a requirement by the buyer, but may be generated from the seller's side on the insistence of the seller to the insurance company if the seller has initiated the insurance of the goods. Dangerous goods certificate is the certificate that you fill up as a consigner for the goods that you are, which class of goods that you are trying to transport under the dangerous goods classification, with all the details in terms of and the supporting documents that are required as mentioned on the document. So summary is, annexure shows standard document formats, helps in correct document preparation, critical for customs and banking, and essential for examination and real trade. Thank you.